Milwaukee's 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now from the Mobile Sports and Dog Transport Unit, somewhere in America, Steve Zaben!
You are looking live at Livonia, Georgia, and the Waffle House off of exit. Oh, I don't even know what exit I'm off of, but I did give Bob and Brian via my Skype connection on my iPad a live look-in at the vehicle, and as you saw young Tucker in his crate, right. Not his cage.
It's a crate.
It is crate in the back. Bob said, yeah, it's either a mobile studio or the animal control department of Livonia, Georgia.
It could serve as either. Could be both. Brian worked them both into the title. You get two door magnets. On one side, it says mobile sports unit. On the other side, animal control.
Sure.
No reason you can't multitask there in the family truckster.
Exactly.
So, you're on your way home from Atlanta now?
We're on our way halfway home because we are, as a family, such admitted non-road warriors.
Okay.
That we don't drive much more than 6 hours in a day.
All right.
I mean, I know that's laughable to many people, if not most. But after about 6 hours in the car, we've pretty much had enough. And if we're driving 6 hours, we'll stop twice. We'll stop at 2 hour intervals, even for 15 minutes, just to get out, stretch, get a snack, take a pee.
As long as everyone's on board and you're good with the plan, who cares how you travel?
Yeah. I'm in no rush necessarily to get
I used to yell at
where
the kids.
We're going.
I used to yell when I was trucking kids around the country to show them a good time, Steve.
Yeah.
I would scream at them, you are a TikTok. Get in there and go to the bathroom when this tank is full to be back in this car. Let's go.
Right. And the worst is when you're stopping and you give the kids the 5 minute heads up to get their shoes on.
Oh, and then
they still aren't ready to jump off of that Black Hawk helicopter.
Oh,
I want my kids, Brian, leaping out of the car like they're going down the rappelling ropes on a Black Hawk.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah, and then you pull in, you get up to the gas pump, or you park in front of whatever Stuckey's or whatever you've stopped at, and they go, where are my shoes? What do you mean, where are your shoes?
You've had nothing to do for the last 10 miles but to get your shoes on.
You know what, Steve? Enjoy it. You're going to miss these days.
Well, that's the thing.
It's true.
That is the thing.
At the time that I was in that car pulling my hair out, I thought, I can't wait till I don't have to deal with this anymore. I would kill for a road trip like that again.
Would you really?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Really?
I'd enjoy it so much more now.
But, well, you would kill for it because it'd be a one-off.
Yeah.
And it would be a novelty trip. It would not be part of your everyday life.
No. You know what my grandkids...
Road trip here, road trip there.
When my grandkids get a little older, I may drive them out to the Grand Canyon just for fun.
Well, there you go. No, look, there is something quite exhilarating about getting out and roaming around this awesome, big, broad, Waffle House-laden country of ours. It's cool to be far away from home in sort of weird, strange places.
I agree completely, and still have comforts of home that are familiar, like a Waffle House on almost every exit once you get past Chicago.
That comforts home like that and a strong Verizon LTE 4G signal. That's the kind of comfort I'm looking for. But yeah, I remember when I drove
think we have to go
country.
To Minneapolis to get to the nearest Waffle House around here.
There's one north of here? They have a Waffle House north of here, but we don't have House here? There's something wrong with that.
Something might be wrong there in the Google machine.
Did I tell you yesterday that I went to the Waffle House and asked for pancakes?
What do?
They have pancakes, don't they? They have eggs.
No.
Can't they just pour that same batter onto a flat griddle and, call it a pancake?
No. The sweet waitress just laughed and said in her southern drawl, oh, honey, we don't have pancakes. I'm like, yeah, you're the Waffle House. I'm sorry about that.
I swear
I've it's like a shop that only does brakes and not mufflers. Like, what do you mean you don't do mufflers? You're under the car. You got it on a lift. It's a basic repair.
I like
brakes and mufflers.
Before we got on the air, we were doing a little test run with this thing because we're professionals and we don't just leave things to chance. Sometimes.
Right.
And I said to Mrs. C, I said, you got to have the pecan waffles. Have you ever had those? And she said, no. I was a little stunned because that's kind of what they built the empire on was the pecan waffle, yeah. Wasn't it?
Well, what if you hate pecans?
Well, it could be. Does she hate pecans?
I don't know. Don't remember that from
how long have you been married? You don't know if your wife hates pecans? That should be third date. You should know her likes and dislikes.
You're usually discussing that by week three,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if that came up in our pre-Cana counseling. So, do you promise to love and cherish each other forever and not want to kill each other on road trips?
Yes.
And what is your stance on pecans in general? Do you like pecan ice cream, pecans on waffles?
Well, you are in Waffle House Central, part of the U.S., in Atlanta. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they sort of dribble out to like Arizona, New Mexico, but
pretty thick there in Atlanta, huh?
Here, look at the map. Look at the grass.
Look at that. It is, wow. It's like North and South Korea at night. The
right.
South is all lit up.
What
the Southeast.
Is the Waffle House demarcation line exactly?
Once you get west of, I would say, Central Texas, well, it starts
like
to get a little thin.
They get up to Ohio.
Sure, it looks like it goes all the way up to New York.
They kind of crap out in West Virginia. Yeah.
Oh, my wife just texted me. Tell Bob, pecan waffles.
Okay.
That was at 9:04, though, so I don't think she's listening inside the restaurant.
It's probably gone by now since it's 9:15 where you are.
Yeah.
I'm glad she enjoyed it. Tell her you're welcome. I'll just tell her.
Yeah, I will.
I'll just call
I will
her
do
later.
Just that.
I'll just call her.
I'll just call her myself later. Hey, what? What's going on there?
Atlanta has 132 Waffle House locations.
Oh my God!
You can't swing a moonshine jug in that town and not hit a Waffle House,
man.
132. You better be pretty specific if you tell somebody in Atlanta, "Meet me at the Waffle House."
Well,
yeah, we so
could you narrow
hit
it down to 10? Which 10
yeah,
might be it?
Right. We hit most of our marks here in Atlanta, but the one mark that I now regret I did not see, and this is a landmark of great historical significance, but only of very narrow interest between the three of us. I did not go see the apartment that Bob drove his daughter's furniture to and then turned around.
Got an address.
And drove home.
You know, that was the last time.
I literally wanted to see that landmark and go, yep, that's the spot where Bob's drive of his daughter's furniture ended, yep. And they turned back around.
Yeah, that was a long, long couple of days, let me tell you.
But they turned out well.
It worked out okay.
Turned out very
well. It is the mulligan
for
that
those
I still
that don't
hold.
For those that don't know the story, Bob's second
oldest,
daughter,
no, the oldest.
Oldest daughter.
Yeah, Hoss.
Fell in love with a boy who lived in Atlanta, and she was going to move there for this boy.
Yep.
It's a story as old as the ages.
Yep. He was in a band.
Bob packs up a U-Haul.
No,
right?
Hold on. Let me preface this by, what am I missing here? You're moving to Atlanta for a guy who's in a band? Tell me what I'm missing here. I was mad the whole time.
Okay,
yeah.
But you're in a U-Haul with her stuff because you're a wonderful father, and you're driving her down to help her get set up. And you get down there, and she's to move in with another girl as a roommate.
She found
she's
her
not going to move in with this dude yet.
Nope, she's found a roommate on like roommates.com.
Which, how could that ever go wrong?
Right, we walk in, and the dog that the roommate owns has eaten everything in the apartment. I mean, literally eaten the blinds on the curtain. And
oh my God,
she's brought her cat with her. And I said, well, see that dog right there? He's going to kill your cat. There's no doubt in my mind. The cat's a goner. That's a given. And all your stuff that you brought down here is going to be ruined by that dog. So.
And immediately your daughter's heart starts to sink. And she's thinking, this might be a huge mistake.
This could be.
So you still move everything. You still get everything out of the U-Haul.
put everything away,
the apartment.
Put everything together. All the clothes are hung. The clothes are in the drawers in the dresser. The towels are in the linen closet. I take the truck back. I come back, and they're just sitting there silently in this apartment. And I walk in. I go, "What's up? What's going on?" And she goes, "Nothing. Nothing's going on." I said, "No, seriously, what's going on?" She goes, "Nothing. It's fine." And I said, "No, just tell me now."
Oh, and whenever a woman says it's fine, the last thing it is.
And she
fun.
Says, and she said, this could be a big mistake. And I went, "What do you mean this could be a big mistake?" She goes, I think this could be a big mistake. And she just kind of looking around, and I said, "All right, what do you want to do?" She goes, "Nothing. I'm here. I'll stay." And I said, no, what do you want to do?" And she, again, the whole nothing, it's fine. And I said, "No, I'm a genie. You get one wish. What is it? Give me your wish right now." She goes, "That we just load all this stuff up and go back to Milwaukee." Everybody get on your phone, find a truck. Find a truck right now. Call, no matter what the price, get it. And we got a truck. We loaded it up. And we left the next day and drove everything home.
Bob, I you know what? That story still to this day. What a dad you are. Because every dad instinct would be to go nuclear.
And it was
to be like the cartoon character, Brian, whose head explodes in a fiery volcano mushroom cloud. Like
you're watching a lot of Dr. Phil back then.
Could have been. Whatever. No, Steve, at that point,
when you win, just be done.
Just take
with
the win and go. No, Steve, at that point, honestly, it was the first moment I wasn't mad anymore. I was relieved. It was just like, no, this is just a dollar thing. That's all it's going to take to fix this. Let's go.
Because you were still going to have to drive back home, right?
Yeah.
Or no, where were we going to dump the,
well, I take
the chase car?
We had two chase cars. Actually.
Oh, okay.
One was hers and one was my ex-wife in the chase car,
okay.
Right?
Got it.
But I had already taken the truck back. So I called the U-Haul. I said, "Hey, I dropped a truck off. Can I just come and get that back? It turns out that I need it because I had it for like two more days." And they said, "No, we've already put it back into whatever paperwork's been filed." I'm like, "Of course you did. Right. Okay, do you have a truck?" "Sure, we have a truck. Guess what truck I got?"
"Same one."
Well, I don't know if it was the same one. That would have been an even better story, but one just like it at the same lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, thanks. I'll take that one. No, total relief. I was totally relieved.
And now your oldest daughter is happily married with grandbabies of yours.
Yes.
And it all turned out great.
Yeah, it worked out.
What year was that she almost moved to Atlanta?
Well, since she just sent me an FU, Steve, I'll let her text that that year in.
Way to go.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why is she firing on me?
I don't know. I've told this story a million times.
We didn't even mention her name.
Yeah, I said Haas. Yeah, name's not out there. You're right.
No.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story of decisiveness in the face of a bad decision. There's no reason in life to be stuck on stupid. And if you're convinced this is a mistake, then cut your losses and go the other way.
I'll try to get you an address so maybe you can swing by with the family and show them. Before you leave.
No, too late. We're already an hour and a half out of Atlanta in Livonia.
Right. Okay.
As I was in Atlanta for 4 days, it seemed like a month. As I was there in Atlanta, I thought to myself, could I live here? Anywhere I go, Brian, I think, could I live here? Not that I plan to live here or that I even want to live here, but the existential question of I'm here. Wonder if I could live here. I don't know if you ever do that when you go places, but I do.
I do that when I watch TV.
Yeah, like Alaska. You probably watch Buying Alaska and say to yourself, Brian, could I live here?
There's Maine, there's Alaska, there's any place, really. Even China.
Oh, my. So, I don't know if I could live in Atlanta. I just don't know. It's a big, thriving city. It's got a lot of sports radio opportunities. I think they have three sports radio stations, which is hard to believe for such a front-running, fair weather, everybody's from somewhere else kind of sports town.
Well, they're still breaking down that Super Bowl.
Well, they have all four sports, right? They have basketball, baseball, football, and hockey.
No. They lost their hockey team. Okay. No, Thrasher's gone.
Okay.
Went they to Winnipeg.
Okay, so they're back where they
back
should be.
Back to Winnipeg.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to three.
What about college sports down there? University
Big
of Georgia?
Time. How about them, dogs? Yeah,
University of Georgia. Okay.
University of Georgia dominates a lot of people's discussion and mindset. Georgia Tech wants to be good again.
The Yellow Jackets, you know, right?
Yeah, Georgia Tech used to be great as a football power. Now they're just sort of a middle-tier ACC team. They also have Georgia State, which is a scrappy, you know, lesser-level Division I program. So, yeah, they got stuff in Atlanta.
Did you visit the burned-down house of Andre Rison while you were in Atlanta and tell the kids his crazy effing girlfriend set his shoes on fire? And threw
no,
in
I did
his-
not. I did not visit Andre Rison's burned-down house, courtesy of Lisa Left Eye Lopes. I did not visit Evander Holyfield's insane mansion, which had like 107 rooms. It was like a Marriott Marquis, they said, in terms of size. Evander Holyfield, one of Atlanta's natives. Didn't see MC Hammer's old crib either, which I'm sure went into foreclosure. Didn't see Dion's old place. I don't know about Atlanta. It's, you know, it's locked in the middle of the state, so you're really not near the water. It gets so blazing hot and blazingly humid.
Humid, right.
You know, when Billy Payne, who is regarded as an icon in Atlanta because he headed the Olympic effort to bring the Olympics to Atlanta, he, one of the great fibs, let's call it, that he told to the organizing committee, the IOC, was that in their brochure about the benefits of Atlanta, he listed their average early August temperature as 79 degrees.
Right.
That was a nighttime low temperature average. So in other words, at night, the average temperature in August got down to on average 78
well,
degrees.
Well, they don't call it Hotlanta because it's nice and comfortable.
Oh, well, right. And like I said to my daughters, I go, it's not called Coolanta either. Trust me, it's beautiful now. Like, we caught their best week of weather, I'm sure they'll have from now until October 15th.
Evander Holyfield's house looks like some kind of
Capitol
building
thing.
Or.
Look at that thing.
Oh,
or
my gosh.
Like the home of some president of some country.
Yeah. He's a boxer. Holy
wow.
Mackerel.
Was a boxer.
Yeah, was. Well,
it's just about got a dome on it, like a rotunda and everything.
Oh, Steve, the furniture tour to Atlanta, it's the 10th anniversary. That was 07.
Mm. Oh, really? 07. What time of year?
It was, I want to say March. I want to say we just passed it.
Okay.
Yeah, we just passed it. Yeah, and her youngest son turns one today, so bang, bing, bing, there you go.
It all works out in the end.
It all
works. Beautiful
out. Yeah.
All right. So what's happening in sports? I left you a long list of topics that you could have gotten into yesterday. I don't know where. We didn't talk about Tony Romo doing warm-ups with the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, we didn't talk about Tony Romo not filing paperwork yet for retirement either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He has not officially filed his paperwork. So we assume that he's keeping his options open in case the CBS thing. Kind of like, not everything you thought it would be.
How do you feel about him suiting up and warming up, even though he didn't play in the game, with a professional NBA team? And did you see the photos or videos of him?
I did. I saw
looking,
it all.
Yeah, okay. Now, Tony Romo was a all-star, all-state basketball player, as well as a great football player. And he's still, even though he's older and coming off a bunch of surgeries, in pretty good athletic shape.
Yeah.
But when he put on that Mavericks jersey and that warm-up and, you know, ran around out there, he looked like Joe Dirt, just Joe Schlub out there. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Like,
compared to
these apex predator NBA players who are freaks, Tony Romo looked like some dude off the YMCA bench.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what he should look like.
Which is what he should look like.
Next to professional basketball players. So, yeah, And it's the end of the year. Did the game matter that he was warming up for or anything like that? I mean, was there any position to be gained or lost as far as the playoffs?
Season finale, probably, wasn't it?
It was coming up on it.
It was the last game of the season, or his last home game of the season, and then also, the Mavericks were out of the playoffs, so it doesn't matter.
If Cuban wants to give Tony Romo a little salute, and have him do a Mavericks game and let him warm up, and be careful, it sounds like you're in a lot of traffic now.
Sorry, I had to step outside. It was getting warm, and the dog smell was asphyxiating me inside the car.
But maybe...
Yeah, I'm still a newbie dog owner in that the smell of dog is not yet perfume for me. It still is a little bit dog. You ever been in somebody's car that has multiple dogs and it's so full of hair and it stinks so much of dog you almost vomit when you get in?
Not that I can remember.
I'll say this:
okay.
When I was growing up, the neighbors had some big dogs.
The car smell.
I don't remember the car
house
smell.
All right, I'm back in the studio.
I'll be honest. I don't ride in a lot of people's cars that
that's a good point. Yeah.
When was the last time you hopped in your buddy's car to go somewhere?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's been a long time, but there are some people I've gotten rides.
As adults,
remember.
We don't do it that much.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't have a car? Why do you want to ride with me? What are you, some sort of freak? What do you want to, is this a sex thing?
You getting fresh?
Yeah, right. No, it's not. No, I just need a ride.
Exactly. That's all.
Oh, so Romo hasn't filed his papers, and Ed, who's filling in for Rock for the rest of the week, pointed out in sports, you know another Dallas quarterback who still hasn't filed his retirement papers?
Roger Staubach. Clint Longley.
Well, you got Roger Staubach. You got it. Guess.
Thanks for wrecking the bit. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, you don't want me to wreck your bit. Don't ask me a question. It's like in a court of law. Don't ask a question
if you don't know the answer.
You better know the answer before you even ask it.
Yeah. So, Captain America, what are you doing over there?
I'm just looking at different articles. I don't know why the sound is up.
Your computer is highly critical right now because I can't turn it down.
I see.
Major League Baseball's commissioner, Rob Manfred, wants the Cleveland Indians to, quote, transition away from Chief Wahoo logo. This is what Indian fans get for letting their ownership go with the alternate Block C and saying, oh, don't worry, we're just incorporating another logo into our mix, the Block C. We still have Chief Wahoo on these sleeves. Well, they're going to make a push to get rid of good old Chief Wahoo as being insensitive and racist.
Well,
a lot of Indian fans love that logo. I like that logo.
I don't think that's even news. I think we said that last year when they put the C on the hat.
Yeah, that this thing was coming, right?
Yeah, it seems obvious.
You ever been part of a 50-50 raffle at a ball game?
Of course. Yeah. Always.
You basically,
every fundraiser.
Right. You buy a raffle ticket for a set price, and it depends on, you know, how rich they want to make the pot, right? What is the typical price for a 50-50 raffle ticket? $10?
Oh,
it's 20.
It depends on, you know, we were at a fundraiser the other night, and I think you got 5 or 6 tickets for $20.
We have a 50-50 raffle at the B&B Open.
Yeah. They have it at Brewer games.
What's the B&B Open 50-50 raffle? What's the chunk in? What's the buyout? What's the payout?
Roughly speaking, $5 or $10 a ticket. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think the payout's a few grand.
A couple grand.
Yeah.
And then the guy who wins it gets instantly shamed to turn all that money back to the MAC fund.
Give it back. Yeah. Right.
That is the worst tradition ever. We've got to stop that. Don't shame somebody who has already paid into a raffle to benefit a charity, wonderful charity, in addition to paying the money he paid to play in the Bob and Brian Open. Just because he wins the raffle and he's got a nice $2,000 bonus, don't make him pay it back.
You can claim a bigger tax deduction then, though, right?
Sure he can. And if his heart says to do it, that's fine. But you know, this undermines the whole point. Like, if we keep doing this, more people are not going to donate to the raffle thinking, why? Because if I win,
you know, then I lose. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Do you buy a ticket for the 50? Do you buy a ticket for the 50-50 raffle?
No.
See, I don't either. Not because you know,
it'll look terrible if
I win it. Well, I can't keep it. Now it looks like it was fixed. Right. If Brian wins, you win, right? It's, so
Bob, when I come up for that weekend, I pack a T-shirt and a 20, and I break neither one. I change neither one, I should say, as the saying goes. So at the Edmonton Oilers game, they had a 50-50 raffle in which the winner took home $336,000 and change.
Wow.
And
but what is that a Canadian
law? Per Canadian law, according to Darren Revelle, the prize is tax free.
Whoa, nice.
Now
good.
That's some sweet action right there.
So Uncle Canuck isn't standing there with his hand out when you win that.
That's right. That's how you raise some money right there. And in terms of gambling, it's easily the best odds you'll ever get because you're talking about less than 18,000 people buying into a one-time lottery. Your odds of a prize that big in any kind of, you know, your odds of 1 in 18,000 don't exist in any other lottery, basically. Like, I think you might get 1 in 18,000 odds on a scratch-off ticket to win $5. But that's the way you do it. I wish we'd have more of that in America, to be sure.
Yeah, tax-free, man. That'd be great. They wire
man from Uncle. Oh. I need you into action. If you got a second, can man they, from Uncle.
Can they wire an iPad?
All right. Theme is rolling.
Oh, okay, good. I couldn't hear that. No, you're feeding me. Very good.
And you will.
Man from Uncle, I need you to please look up the new Minnesota Timberwolves logo and tell me what you think. Because already people are saying, hey, Timberwolves, nice logo. The Arizona Coyotes called. They want their logo back from you. It looks
I thought it used to be a wolf howling with its nose up in the air.
Yeah. Hmm. Look at the similarities between that and the Arizona Coyotes logo. Now, never mind the fact that wolves and coyotes are probably all part of the same genus.
Well, they actually crossbreed. There is a hybrid.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw National Geographic or one of those smart channels. Did a piece on it.
The team, through their spokesman, what's his name, Richardson, says, quote, the howl is a warning. It marks their territory. It's a communal cry to the rest of the pack, a rallying cry. The kind of cry they believe will help defend the home court. The darker blue evokes nighttime. The intent is for viewers to sort of viscerally feel what it might be like to walk outside at night and hear that howl.
Oh, it is nearly identical.
Well, they're pretty close, yeah, but you know, those animals are pretty close, and what are they supposed to show them doing? Marking territory by peeing? It's what
that
they do.
That would not be inspiring, would it?
And there's no, also the front on view of the Timberwolf, you know.
Well, one's yeah. orange
one that's looking right at you. But that you could say the same thing about that in like the Chicago Bears logo, with their
bear. It's true. Bear down, Chicago Bears. One is orange, one is blue green, I guess. So, or is that red and blue green?
We'll call it.
It's a little
maroonish.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's a little too close if you ask me, but you know.
Could they put the Timberwolf next to a coyote and show that? Look, it's much bigger. We have a much bigger.
Well, they cranked it around to be instead of being a view from the animal's right, it's a view from the animal's left.
Yeah. Okay. They're doing all they can with this canine.
Some pine trees in the background.
Ours is pointed the other direction. Okay.
It's a howling dog, you know. What are you going to do? If you don't want to offend someone, some Indian group or Nordic group or Celtic group or What somebody who makes steel or pumps oil for a living or something like that.
What do you say? You put the Brown family on the Minnesota Timberwolves logo because they always talk about being a wolf pack. We're a wolf pack.
They're liars.
And they howl to, you know, like that.
I'm okay with it. You know, I'm good with it. They can do
really?
That. Sure. Yep.
Man from Uncle is okay with this. I'm completely shocked. I thought Man from Uncle would have said, redo it.
Here's how the news.
Nah, there's a, unless you're going to go with a totally different kind of animal, some of those things are going to get like a little duplicate action going on.
Okay,
you're right. They might get a little duplicate action, but now do the Coyotes jump up and say, I think we're going to sue you for copyright infringement here because it's not 20 or 30% different than ours.
You know, define 10% different. They use different colors. They used a different angle.
Right.
That's why we have lawyers to define that.
That don't look 10% different to me. Who told them they could do that? I didn't tell them they could do that.
They didn't want the
lawyers at $500 an hour will have charts and graphs and Pantone colors, and they will have a exhibit A through Z. That proves their point. This is infringement. That's what you pay these lawyers for. Now, whether a judge or jury agrees, that's yet to be seen. All right, real quick.
All right.
I know you want me to get in there and eat a waffle with my family before heading down the road. And again, I'm about to pass out with the dog fumes.
All right. Music's rolling.
One more thing that I missed in Atlanta, and thank God I missed it. Yesterday, a truckload of Atlanta Braves foam tomahawks spilled onto I-75 South in Cobb County. Two lanes were blocked, causing a massive backup. Foam tomahawks.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd be able to just roll right over the foam tomahawks.
Can we just drive over those? What are they gonna hurt?
Yeah, I don't know. You just roll right over them, but you know. You see a bunch of foam tomahawks and
they're only about a foot long. They're red. Yeah.
Foam handle, too. It's not a stick.
That's all foam.
Yeah.
Why can't you just blow through those?
I only wish that I could then broadcast video and just show you the scene right here in good old Livonia, Georgia. We need to hook that up so that we can put my Skype video through to BobandBrianWorld.com or the Hog website.
Right.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. We'll get people on that.
Let people share in this glorious Georgia morning with me. It actually is very beautiful today.
This is the sound of the sports guy walking through the parking lot at a Waffle House, getting ready to go in and sit down and order.
No, the kids are done. They're out. I missed my waffles.
No.
It's going to have to be a McGriddle at the McDonald's on the way down the
road.
Hey,
I remember you going on and on about that McGriddle and the way they infused the syrup into the muffin part of it, the English muffin portion.
It's still one of the wonders of the world. I feel like the RV salesman to Homer Simpson. Man made this, Homer. Man put syrup inside the McGriddle sandwich, right there inside the bun.
I like them. I like the McGriddles.